Right. Well, I am a lawyer. I actually specialize in entertainment and media law. But since Little Lumen came along, I've taken a huge interest in autism. And fairly recently, I've been asked to get involved by the head of Queen's Mill School, which is a special needs school based in London specializing in autism. When there are issues experienced by the parents or the children, the head of the school has asked me if I could help out on the legal end. So I said I'd be more than happy to do it. So I've been doing that. I've been in mostly housing issues affecting the typical paradigm is a single parent mother with an autistic son. And I had a couple of cases recently where these landlords were just trying to evict them because there was a noise issue or something like that. And it was just disgraceful. They were trying to throw these people out into the street and it was blatant discrimination. So I went in there guns blazing and won a couple of cases. So off the back of that, I've been asked to do some more. So I'm building up a little knowledge in this area because there are very few lawyers doing this sort of thing. And yeah, I do my own legal research and it's great. It's great. I'm happy to lend a hand. Totally. I mean, I find, one of the most astonishing things, and I suppose I really shouldn't be that astonished by it because I myself was ignorant about autism. I had a vague understanding. I was aware that there were people like Einstein and Mozart who had autism. But I really knew very little about it. And, since I've taken an interest in this area, I've been doing loads of research myself, and it's fascinating, the whole history. And yeah, there are just some horrible things that went on, really disgraceful, all in the name of science and, major people with major credentials behind this. So there's some really shocking bits there, really disturbing bits. But I think some really promising things as well, because it seems to me that at this point in time, more so than ever, there's a lot of money that's being put into research and lots of studies going on. And at least there is a desire to know more and to keep the mind open and to explore this humongous area. I mean, where I went to high school in New York, I have no doubt, knowing what I know now about autism, that I would say 99% of the students there are autistic. They were somewhere on the spectrum. Certainly all the teachers were as well. And as I go through life, I see friends of mine, and I have no doubt probably I myself, I'm somewhere in the spectrum. I'm not quite sure where I'd fall. But yeah, I see autistic traits in virtually everyone really. And it's again, it is not a bad thing. It is something people have to get their minds around, and it's just an issue that's out there that I think people have to get educated about. And so I'm trying to help educate others as I educate myself. So when I deal with the councils and the housing departments there, again, I am shocked that they know nothing about autism. And how can you assign someone a home if you have no knowledge about this issue? That's I think a huge thing itself is just education, educating people, in a calm, polite, courteous way. But that's hugely important because it just affects so many facets of life. And everyone's got to kind of muck in and get their head around it. Now, I think you touch on a huge point, and it makes complete sense. I mean, when Little Lumen was diagnosed with autism, I mean, because we are actually divorced, but we spent a lot of time together, and I live just a few minutes away. And I've been spending a lot of time with Lumen even from the time of his birth. So I consider him my own son, even though he's not my son. I'm not the biological father, but I consider him my son. And Leisha and I both, our main desire was that he felt comfortable in his own skin. That was like the top priority. And we make that happen on a daily basis. I mean, we touched on this point before, but the whole concept of ABA is so aberrant. It is just, to us, shocking and disturbing on so many levels. Because, I mean, human beings are so intelligent. The brain is such a powerful organ. You can train any human being to do basically anything, like a bear in the circus. But is that a healthy thing for a young autistic child to be trained to behave in a certain manner? I mean, we would say absolutely not. So the idea of involving autistic people is just, it's like you say, it's not rocket science. It's that should be happening. I mean, who knows better? And, you know, it's like in these other diversities, you know, stories, you know, starting with the 1960s, if you want to figure out what it's like for a black person to be put in a certain environment, why not ask the black person? You know, it's like, don't simply hypothecate and theorize from a bunch of abstract principles. You've got the resource right there, so it should be plugged in. So no, I mean, I totally agree with that, and I'm just really encouraged by where Lumen goes to school, and we had to fight like crazy to get him in there, because it's a fantastic place. And I describe it as like the, you know, the Willy Wonka and the chocolate factories of schools that specialize in autism, staffed by very intelligent, hardworking, really decent human beings, and you know, they want nothing to do with ABA. It's all focused on the welfare of the children. And I think that is, again, a hugely positive thing, that there's this force here in London. You know, that's what I'm saying. You like to put you in touch with them, because I think you would be able to give a fantastic talk at the school. And I think that's a big part of what's happening now, is you have to put various people in touch with each other, so that people are aware that they're not alone, that there are other people who think in a similar fashion, and you know, and you can make things happen when you kind of get joined up a bit more. Yeah, well, you know, you've come to the right place here, because you know, Lumen, he's an extraordinary individual. And again, you know, we have this conversation all the time. Like, you know, imagine if Lumen didn't exist, it would just be very sad. Like, if we never got to know him. And, you know, he's extraordinary. And, you know, one of the extraordinary things about him is that his mind is just wired in a different way. And he makes me rethink things on a daily basis. Whether I'm at work or I'm walking down the street, I'm saying, hang on a second. You know, yeah, why can't you take your shoes off and just walk down the street? Why is that such a big deal? Why is everyone looking at you aghast? Or, you know, we've always done something this way at the BBC, but why does the BBC do it that way? Why not look at it from a different perspective? And I find that hugely refreshing and a hugely progressive way of living your life, to realize that the way you do things, the way you roll, isn't the only way to do it. I mean, years ago, and I shared this with Alicia, I read, you know, another one who was autistic, Herman Melville, writer I admire very much. He wrote Moby Dick, and he wrote some great short stories. And he wrote this great short story called Bartleby the Scrivener, about a scrivener who shows up one day, and back in the day before, you know, the age of photocopy machines, you had to have someone, you know, laboriously duplicating the document, and that's what he did. And I'm convinced it was about autism, even before, you know, people were talking about autism. It was back in the 1800s. And I'm not quite sure if Melville himself was aware of, you know, any sort of, you know, condition known as autism, but, or if he knew that he himself was definitely different in this regard. But the guy shows up one day, and the lawyer says to him, okay, Bartleby, I need you to duplicate this document. And he just says, I would prefer not to. And it just throws a monkey wrench into the whole system. It's like, what do you mean you prefer not to? But the lawyer, you know, eventually, like, he cogitates on things. But I think, in my perspective, a lot of autistic people feel that way. It's like, yes, I understand what you're telling me, but what I'm saying is I would prefer not to. I would prefer to take my shoes off. Yes, I know it's winter, but I like the way that the ground feels under my feet, and I would like to walk barefoot, you know, on the pavement. So I think, again, a very healthy thing. I mean, people have to get their mind around that. Yes, exactly. I mean, I was at a cafe recently, and there's a couple there, and I was overhearing little snippets of their conversation. I have the foggiest idea what they were talking about otherwise, but the gentleman at the table was telling the woman, he said, no, don't apologize, celebrate. And, you know, that's how we all feel about Lumen and about autism. It's something to be celebrated. It is an extraordinary thing. Again, it's just a different way of perceiving the world. So about Lumen, yeah, it is totally refreshing that there's no effort on his part to disguise his true feelings. You know, when he's happy, he's happy. When he's not, he's not. When he wants you around him, it's very clear. When he wants you to go away and he wants his own alone time, he'll just, you know, not in a mean fashion, or but just gently kind of gesture, it's, you should go now. And I find that entirely refreshing. I think that could be a very healthy thing for non-autistic people to follow. Just let people know, not in a rude or a mean way, but, you know, why not just be, you know, now is not the time. Let's, you know, we can speak later, this sort of thing. So, yeah, I think that's another very refreshing thing about autism that should be embraced and looked at and explored. Yeah, I'm just thinking an anecdote in literary history. They, apparently James Joyce once met a major French writer, and everyone thought, oh my God, they'll have these amazing conversations, apparently. And they were probably both on the spectrum somewhere themselves. They had a very short conversation, and it lasted for about three sentences, and they talked about truffles, and that was it, and they walked away. So there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, you know, I didn't work in entertainment and media, and people, and myself admit I'm totally guilty of this, you can be very long-winded. But there's a beauty to the directness that I experienced from Lumen, and it makes me think about, well, you know, maybe you can cut to the chase. And as you say, there doesn't have to be any small talk. You don't have to discuss the weather for 5 minutes. I mean, why? To what purpose? So yeah, again, a very healthy thing, in my view. Again, like Enlai said, I got a bit teary at, because yeah, he's an awesome older brother, and the two of them just love each other to bits, which is just beautiful to see. But again, I just want to see him be happy. You know, and he's getting a bit clammed up here. But he's a very happy and a very affectionate little boy. And he, you know, I think he's just arrived in the right family, because we all love him to bits and we all have his best interests at heart. And, you know, we're always looking out for him. But like Enla, you know, I mean, Alicia, some of her mom friends said, oh, at some point, you know, you're going to have to put Lumen in a home. And I always tell Alicia, look, the only home Lumen's ever going to is your home or my home. And Enlai said, you know, he can come live with him, but, you know, that's just not going to happen. So, no, I want him to just be happy. I want him to feel comfortable in his own skin. And, you know, I want him to know that he's loved.